Let me tell you the problem right now. Before I came here this morning, I was in the emergency room seeing patients. I still do not have a rapid diagnostic test available to me.
Well, that's easy to do, is it not? Is it hard to manufacture?
It is easy to do for some countries. What happened in the United States is that the CDC created a test,
messed up a reagent,
sent a test out to 50 states, and then said, oh, hold up, don't use it.
Thomas Paine podcast number 12. Wow, that sounded like really loud. Number 12. Yeah, this is going to be a good one too. There's a lot of information, a lot of intel coming in. Can't get the microphone right. A lot of information coming in, a lot of intel. This one's jam-packed. A lot of things previously unknown, undiscussed anywhere else, even by us. That's saying a lot. So without further ado, let's just get into the meat and potatoes of the, we got breaking news, we got unknown news, intel, deep dives, all kind of things going on. Buckle up, let's rock and roll. Some breaking news on True Pundit. Mike Bloomberg comes up short, quits presidential race. Bloomberg finally found something in politics shorter than him, his campaign. He's going to support Biden now. big whoop. $500 million out the window. Like that. Must be nice. Could have fed a lot of kids. Built a lot of houses for people with no houses. Remember that next time some liberal maniac lectures you on homeless people or hungry kids. Feel free to point out Bloomberg's $500 million down the tubes and Tom Steyer's $230 million down the tubes. Almost $1 billion for nonsense. What do we have left? So we got Biden now. These deep state folks. These corrupt bastards want to cover their crime so badly that they'll prop up a man with dementia for the White House, who now himself has to keep running to protect his crimes and his family's crimes. Welcome to America 2020, the corrupt states of America, Democrat style. just like we all thought it was, right? I'm sorry, a little under the weather, been running around. Maybe I have the Kung Flu. Have to watch out. The Kung Flu, it sneaks up on you. We're just going to roll with this. There's a lot of stuff to cover, and we're going to do some plugs. But for the most part, there's so much to talk about. I just want to keep it moving. And you have all this stuff going on with the coronavirus. And since our last podcast, there's been a frenzy happening in the media and in the stock market based around the virus. Something's wrong with this microphone, I think. Sounds funny to me. Does that sound better if I go like this? I'm not sure. No, maybe. Hello? 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 I don't know. Trump had a press conference and he was flanked by all these people from the CDC and telling us how great they are and everything. And I was just sitting back saying, he probably has no clue how corrupt the CDC is over the years. It's one step above, I think, the Department of Justice. And that's not saying much. The only reason it's not as bad as the Department of Justice is because the DOJ is also tasked with supposedly maintaining, prosecuting criminals, maintaining law and order in this country. And it itself is one of the most corrupt organizations you'd ever want to. It's a cartel. Okay, quickly, plugs. You can find us at truepundit.com, our news on truepundit.com. I'm on Twitter at Thomas1774Payne. We're on Twitter at true_pundit. Also, you can shop libertyoutfitters.co. Get all kind of cool sweatshirts there, hoodies, t-shirts, hats, patriot wear, etc. Check out libertyoutfitters.co. That benefits us as well. Also, another way to support us is to, if you want to see more shows and you want to see me talking about politics more on a video show, TV type show, I'm prepping for my TV career. We're negotiating. Patreon.com/truepundit. It's another way you can support us and check out everything I have to say about politics. We're going to get into some things today that may take you out of your comfort zone. It'd be completely 180 degree difference from the things that you hear on Fox News and all these other cement heads posing as journalists on Twitter. And you know what? And I've earned the right to call people whatever the fuck I want to call people in journalism, because we're like 3-4 years ahead of everybody else. So a lot of people are like, oh, I don't understand this guy more. He's always like complaining about people and he's not happy with anybody. Yeah, I'm not. These people are garbage. Total garbage. The majority of them. There are some good folks, okay? And you people are following them. So when I say you people, I mean that generally. I mean, I think I've said this many times. I think I cater, True Pundit caters to brighter folks. So it's not a slight to you guys, right? I say you people, I'm just talking about the population. These guys are getting good numbers, good viewers, stuff. Where are these people coming from? How many times do you want to be lied to before you tune these people out? I mean, you know, if you get ripped off, they're ripping you off by giving you bad information. They're taking something from you. They're removing honesty from the narrative, and they're ripping you off and selling you bullshit. How many times do you want to be ripped off before you wise up? And when I say, when I say you, again, I'm talking in generalities, and you understand that. You folks understand that. But the CDC is completely corrupt. And I just want to play a clip for you here from the news so you get a flavor for this, and then we'll talk about it. Interesting to listen to this, though. This was on, Now, I usually do these in like 3 or 4 clips, put a podcast together, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 20 minutes here, me talking, and then I put them all together and make them in a nice fancy package and tie everything together in an editing software. Today, I've been so busy, we're just going to cut this in one take. So if it sounds a little rough, that's just going to have to deal with it, right? We're all busy, and I want to get this thing out the door. Because I'm running late with it. Should have been out earlier today. Well, I say should have been. I'm glad it's not out. It wasn't out earlier today because so much has happened today, Wednesday. So if the podcast came out at 4 in the morning today, we would have missed a lot of this stuff. But I caught this clip on CNBC television. Let me play it for you and then we'll talk about it. It's Dr. Scott Gottlieb, member of the boards of Pfizer and biotech company Illumina, and former FDA commissioner. Oh, Jesus. But the more important thing is this Dr. Matt McCarthy. He's an infectious disease physician in Manhattan who works in the ER room in Manhattan. And they talk on CNBC's Squawk Box and discuss the latest intel on the coronavirus outbreak. So listen to this and we'll come back to it.
Shouldn't we be hopeful that we can come up with a therapeutic quickly?
Let me tell you the problem right now. Before I came here this morning, I was in the emergency room seeing patients. I still do not have a rapid diagnostic test available to me.
Well, that's easy to do, is it not? Is it hard to manufacture?
It is easy to do for some countries. What happened in the United States is that the CDC created a test.
Messed up a reagent.
Sent a test out to 50 states and then said, oh, hold up, don't use it, let us fix
it. Okay, how quickly
it's
can
now
we get
March.
On track now, Matt?
We hear that it's coming very soon, but I'm here to tell you right now, at one of the busiest hospitals in the country, I don't have it at my fingertips. I still have to call the Department of Health. I still have to make my case, plead to test people. This is not good. We know that there are 88 cases in the United States. There are going to be hundreds by middle of week. There's going to be thousands by next week.
So
and this is a testing issue.
What do you do with people in the emergency room if you can't test them?
Well, we call and we try to test. We isolate them. We have an outstanding team of infection control practitioners who know how to handle this, but they're hamstrung by the fact that we don't have a diagnostic test available.
Are people getting sent home? Because I read reports of that over the weekend.
We're not sending people home. We're making sure they get what supportive care we can give. But keep in mind, we now have this in New York State, right? The person who tested positive was only the 32nd test we've done in this state. That is a national scandal. They are testing 10,000 a day in some countries, and we can't get this off the ground. I'm a practitioner on the firing line, and I don't have the tools to properly care for patients today.
You have Dr. McCarthy telling you that the CDC doesn't even have test kits available for folks to be medical professionals to be testing folks who come into the ER to find out who has this coronavirus. Sounds like I might have the coronavirus. Who has this coronavirus? And are we letting them walk out of this ER and infect other people? And the CDC doesn't even, they don't even care, because the CDC is just a corrupt organization, you know? And when Trump was at this press conference, national press conference last week, he called and he was talking about the virus and everything. And he's flanked by all these people telling us what great professionals they are. Historically, these people are liberal pieces of shit. Right? It's no different from the Department of Justice. He's up there. He thinks everybody's his friend. They're not your friend. They would sell you for a nickel or less. They've done it time and time again. They've used taxpayer money to enrich their friends, enrich their political buddies, all under the guise of keeping you safe and keeping you healthy. Give me a break. You know, part of me is starting to think that, or realize that, I think the government, the federal government, is just in place to rip us off at every turn, because whatever story I'm working on or whatever people I'm talking to about certain things, that's all I hear from them. Oh, yeah, but, you know, the CDC, you got to look it up. They have all these scams going. I'm like, wait a minute. How many scams are we talking about? We have enough scams in the Department of Justice. talking about CDC. Let's just go over a couple of things, you know, from the folks who are here to make your world safer. A safer place health-wise, all right? The CDC gets a lot of its funding from the State Department, from the USAID, from the Department of Defense, and all this money comes into the CDC, and they're supposed to be monitoring potential pandemics, infectious diseases, etc., okay, and keeping a lid on these things. The problem is that the CDC takes a lot of the money, public taxpayer money, and then kicks it out the door to other places to quote unquote furthering protection for you, making the world a safer place health-wise. Guess what one of those places are who receives money from the CDC? the Clintons. So let's just take a little step back. Clinton is Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. And she has control the purse strings of the State Department, USAID, and even, I would say, Department of Defense funds to a certain extent. She can at least make recommendations. And they give her money to the CDC while she's in there as Secretary of State. These places are giving money to the CDC. The CDC turns around and gives money back to the Clinton Foundation. How is that even legal? Oh, that's right. It's not fucking legal. So all the people that Trump is surrounded with that are great people, they're not great people. Okay? They might be good at their jobs, good doctors or whatever, but the core of the CDC is rotten, just like most other government agencies we found out about. And they have folks with like a liberal hell-bent ideology running these things into the ground while their friends get rich. And while I would say presumably they get rich as well. Okay? So, let's see. The Clinton Health Access Initiative is another one of these schemes they cooked up, the Clintons, right? CDC is giving them somewhere $10 to $15 million between 2010, 2017, 2018, right? That's just what we know about. That's just a fraction that we know about. Being able to piece together through some public documents. This is the same CDC who's complaining about Trump's proposed budget cuts. You know, we're not going to be able to do this, and we're not going to be able to protect you because their proposed budget cuts. Like, whoa. You guys just handed the Clintons $15 million for what? That's called a kickback. Hillary gives these people money, your money, or my money, our money, and then she gets money back into her own pocket, into the pocket of her foundation. And we know that they weren't spending it legally. How is this woman not in jail? Well, we'll get to that. It's not as complicated as you think. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to corruption. But, you know what's funny? I'm wearing this shirt, and every time I move, it like picks my beard rubbing against the shirt. I don't know if you can hear that, but I just don't even, we're just rolling with it. I don't even give a shit. This isn't like James O'Keefe, you know, who does all these post-production tricks and it makes it look like you're watching a movie when he interviews somebody. We're just rolling with this. This is raw intel. So if you pick up little noises, that's just tough fucking shit. You know, I have to be honest with you. This is like 3 months old now, the podcast, I think. This is the third. We're starting the third month. They're ending it. In three short months, my philosophy has changed so much about podcasting. And I wanted to be like the man and have all these great numbers and great interviews and stuff. And we've had some of those great interviews. And I wanted to I don't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to give people some entertainment, give people some intel, and have like a be lighthearted and also be informative. And we've done that thus far. Now I'm just kind of like, you know what? This is the corruption in this country is so bad that the corruption in this country is so bad that we have to here just lay it out and stop pussyfooting around with a lot of stuff, right? Getting intel that's completely insane from high-ranking people in the, I'm not even going to say, and we'll just say federal law enforcement, okay? And this stuff is like golden. And nobody else has this stuff. So now my philosophy is like for podcasting has changed just in 3 months. I'm thinking now, just going to start telling people like it is. And some of the stuff I've been holding back on because, God forbid you criticize Trump and people like lash out at you like, you're not, you know, you're not with us, you're against us. It's like, wait a second. So, you know, sometimes I curb what I want to say if I have to be critical of the president and his people that he's appointed. But I've decided, fuck that. Like, if you're not, two things. If by now you don't understand that I'm in the know, when I'm 3 years ahead of news that's breaking, okay? 4 years ahead of news that's breaking. Like, I said this 4 years. That's like an eternity. That's another lifetime ago. If by now you don't understand that I'm in the know, then I can't help you out, right? Two, if you don't have an open mind enough to understand that there's another galaxy of corruption out there that you don't even know about, but then I'm happy to try to point out because I know about it from where I've been, who I know, what I've done, then let's go. Let's go on this journey together. We're on a journey together every week. And it might, you know, I might pick it up, might be more than every week. There's nobody in the media out there that can give you this. There's not. And that's why the show's doing so well. They just don't have the hooks. It's not really their fault, right? It's not. It took me 30 years to get here, and the path that I was on in some instances is very turbulent. So I wouldn't want anybody to go through the crucible I had to go through. But when you have the intel, you have the intel. And when it's true, there's nothing to worry about. That's why when I say something, I don't care if people lash out and say, oh, you're negative, you're this, you're that, you don't know what you're talking about. Guess what? 2-3 years later, you're not looking so bright for attacking somebody who was right. Years ahead of the curve. And the reason I can say this with confidence is because if you're reporting the truth, and I am struggling today with this, if you're reporting the truth, you never have to look over your shoulder and worry about what comes quote unquote true, what, how many of your predictions or your intel, if it works out. It just works out because the truth always has a way of finding its way to the top, no matter how much money is put behind trying to keep it squelched and keep it quiet, okay? Truth always has a way of airing its ugly head. So I don't worry about it. I say something and it's true, and the clock starts ticking, whether it's 6 months, 6 weeks, 2-3 years. It comes out, and then I look good. And then, see, along the way, people come back to me and say, you know, I thought you were, like, full of shit, dude. Like, a year ago, you were saying stuff, and you were very negative about things, but... And I said, this guy's too negative for me. I can't listen to him, because I want to live in this, like, you know, world where everybody tells me what I want to hear. But now I've come back to you, because everything you said was right, and the other people I were listening to... we're wrong. And sometimes in this business, you're wrong, but you have to admit it. And then you have to be able to pivot and say, well, I was wrong. Okay. I got that wrong. Here's what I think happened. But there's a lot of people out there that don't even say that. They say, it's not that I was wrong. It's just that things have changed in the last couple of days. It's all part of some scheme, some kind of orchestrated plan. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. There's two types of information. There's right information and there's wrong information. You either got it or you fucking don't. Stop being a pretender, man. You got a lot of people fooled. A lot of these quote-unquote journalists out there have a lot of people fooled. And some of them you watch every night on television. I don't know where you're getting your information from. Might even be getting it from Trump. Because Trump obviously doesn't know what's going on inside the Justice Department. I mean, history has proven that as lousy as that statement sounds. I mean, you know, it took him over a year to figure out that Sessions was a hobo. And to get rid of this guy, I was saying that 6 months, you got to get rid of Sessions. He's not doing anything in the Justice Department. They're laughing at him in there. Trump just tweeted today that Sessions is in a runoff situation for a Senate seat in in Alabama, and Trump tweeted today, like, this is what happens when you twiddle your thumbs on the Russian collusion investigation when you recuse yourself as attorney general. He basically called him a jerk, and you know, and I was laughing because I've been saying, thank God that you're actually saying it now. You know, I would have been saying it for 3 years, and now Trump comes out today. This must be a real blow to the folks that are saying, you know, Sessions is working some undercover op to help Trump out. No, he's not. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I don't know where these people come from, man. But anyway, I don't really care. So my philosophy over the last couple of weeks has changed considerably. Like, now I'm just saying, fuck this. I don't even care if you're impressed. I'm not going to be a monkey on the wire for anybody and try to impress you, because I'm going to lay this out, because history is going to show that I'm dead on, as it usually does, but especially in this situation. And it's important to give people a guidepost, some kind of a lighthouse out here when there's so much propaganda and lies in the media, right? I want, over time, these podcasts to stand the test of time. And when all the shit hits the fan and these people get away with their crimes, I want to be the guy saying, told you this was going on months, years ahead of time, while everybody else was selling you some kind of a narrative to keep you interested, to tag you along, get you to tag along, you know, like holding a bag of Doritos on a string, you know, in front of you. Keep dragging you along as part of their narrative. So you watch the commercials and you click on their web stories and they get paid, right? And is that what folks want out there? Because, I mean, we could do that at True Pundit very easily. I guess we could string people along. That's what I'm saying. You're being strung along. You know, take a step back from the news sources that you read and think about it. They're wrong all the time. They're lying to you. And you're along on this ride and you're getting frustrated, because it's very frustrating, because some of the stories don't make any sense. Like, oh, wait, you said this person was going to, you said Hillary was going to jail for uranium one. Oh, I got to take a drink. Like I said, we're just going live here. We're just going to cut this. No fucking around. You said she was going to be arrested for her emails. Oh, you said she was going to be arrested for missing money in the State Department. It goes on and on and on. That's just Hillary, okay? Oh, guess what? She wasn't arrested for anything, and she's not going to be arrested for anything. So what were you? So that's like three or four things, major things that you're wrong about. That's massive. That's a career ender in most places, especially if you're in private sector, financial, like Citigroup when I worked at Citi, or if you're wrong that many times in Intel, you're out of a job, or you could have gotten somebody killed. You can't be wrong. Like, where I come from, you can't be fucking wrong ever. There's people's lives on the line when it comes to Intel. And that, you know, that's how we treat it. True Pundit treats it the same way. If we're going to put something out, it's got to be right. Not that it has to fit the narrative of everybody out there that are reading us and make them feel good and warm and fuzzy. What are we, like, 3 fucking years old as a country, where everybody has to feel comfortable and warm and fuzzy? And, oh, you know, you're too negative. Who are these people that say that? I can't watch this guy. He's too negative. I can't listen to him. I'm right. Fucking right every time. Like, what do I got to do? Like, dance on a wire with an umbrella? Like a fucking chimpanzee? You haven't figured this out by now? That most of the people you're listening to lie to you on a daily basis? I'm not talking about the mainstream media. I'm talking about the right-wing media. They lie. It's very simple why they lie. Very, very simple. Some people might not even realize they're lying, okay? Because these guys travel in a pack. And I don't want to get too involved in my rants on the media, but it's important that you understand the evolution of bullshit and propaganda. Okay, some people Just retweet other people, and they aggregate other news stories from Breitbart or other places like this. And it's like a pack. It's a circle. It's cyclical. Somebody popular writes something, and this person's popular. This person's on TV, so we will retweet it. Oh, and it sounds like it's in our wheelhouse. It's a perfect thing. Like somebody's going to jail, like McCabe's going to jail or Comey's going to jail. Oh, this is big. There's a probe. There's an investigation. Ooh, Barr's doing a review again on these guys. So they promote these things, right? That's one level. It's kind of like a lower level. The guys that are actually breaking stories and getting it wrong, it's very simple. They just don't have the contacts. They don't have the contacts that are telling them exactly what's going on in places like the Justice Department, the FBI, okay? So where do they get their information? They get their information from people who are trying to mislead them and who want them to promote a narrative to keep the public misled or sidetracked on other things, okay? While the crimes and the schemes continue behind the scenes, people can keep making money in D.C. while you're being lied to. And then, okay, so that's like based, and it's a little bit more complicated than that, but I'm just trying to break it down. Along comes a guy like me 3 years ago, a little bit of 3+ years ago, and True Pundit, and we say, we don't give a shit about any of these other people in the media. One, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, you got big followings and you're making a lot of money, but you're always wrong because you're regurgitating some billionaire's talking points. The folks who own you won't let you report what's really going on out here because it's scary shit. So we're going to do our own thing. True Pundit, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to tell people what's going on, really what's going on. And along the way, we anticipate being beat up a little bit, tossed around, called this, called that, because no one likes the new guy on the block, quote unquote, new guy on the block, who's better at the job than you ever will be. Okay, I've been breaking news since I was like 20, 21, 22. Now I'm 52. High-level intel, the government. To me, it's like drinking a glass of water. I was born to do this. I'm a natural. Not bragging. This is my thing. I develop relationships. I talk to people. I'm trustworthy. I will never burn somebody. That's how you get information through the years. Humint, H-U-M-I-N-T, Humint, human intelligence is the best. Better than anything else, okay? That's what I do. It's what I've done my whole career. So I don't need any of these other people. I don't need them. I don't need the clicks. I don't need the conferences they all go to and pat each other on the back. I don't need them to retweet my stuff. I don't even like these people because they're so full of shit. And to me, as an adult, if you don't understand that you're being played and you're regurgitating other people's news that's wrong, why would I want to dumb myself down to hang out with these people? None of the people involved here want that either. Like, we're just going to do our own thing. We're going to tell you the truth years ahead of anybody else, and it's all going to come out. And the folks who don't like how it makes them feel hearing the truth, how bad are you going to feel 2 or 3 years later after being strung out by all these other people and lied to? Like I said earlier, how much can you be played before you wise up, right? So my philosophy, before we get into some of this crazy stuff, what's going on with the Clintons and the government, and it's so massive, is that we're now at a crossroads in our country, and I want my kids to look back at these podcasts and folks that know me, and I don't know a lot of you people, right, because we're strangers. We're not close friends, stuff. But if there's nothing else to be my legacy in this world and people listen back to these podcasts, at least know as time time goes on, that I was telling you the truth and that I was plugged in. Right? And many people still didn't listen, which is an interesting exercise in human nature and human behavior. Right? Why do folks only believe the people they say on TV who lie to them time and time and time again? I'd say on a daily basis they're lied to. Why do you keep watching these people? I don't care if you listen to me or you read me, right? But my life is going to go on. I can do a lot of other things, and that may end up being the case, right? But for right now, I'm out here telling you the truth years before anybody else, right? Don't you think it's odd nobody retweets, nobody in the beautiful crowd, so to speak, retweets a lot of the stuff we do? Why? Like, our support, Drew Pundit's support, my support comes from real people. When I say real people, I mean hardworking Americans, patriots that say, hey, this guy's like always right. And this has been going on years now, not weeks or months. That's where our support comes from. But why won't the most connected people, the most popular people in the media do the same? Don't you think that's odd? I think it's very telling, to be honest with you, okay? The effect that has, the chilling effect is not on my ego, what makes us bigger and better and more popular. I don't give two shits about that. If you haven't figured that out by now, I'm here to tell you, you may never figure it out. It means that the truth is not being spread around by these people for certain reasons, right? Maybe it threatens their livelihood, it threatens their income stream. They make a lot of money lying to you. Even the people on the internet, on Twitter make a lot of money lying to you, these so-called journalists who just popped up out of nowhere, right? It's better to keep you, I don't think there's any debate that it's better to keep you misinformed with feel-good bullshit. For example, Hillary's going to jail. Hillary's going to jail. No, she's not. She's not happening. I talk to these guys at the front lines, the federal guys, and they're saying this is not going to happen. Nah. So Trump could sit at a rally and say, lock her up, lock her up. He's not locking her up because she'd already be locked up. They'd already be doing perp walks, okay? So we're going to get into that as time goes on. This is a massive, massive story. So my philosophy now is almost like, and I'll just be very blunt, okay, and whether it comes to me telling the truth or me dropping F-bombs or people don't like it, don't fucking listen. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Listen to some dope who's going to lie to you. If you don't want to be told the truth, whether it makes you uncomfortable or not, get the fuck out of here. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for it. There's plenty of other people who go that'll be happy to babysit you, baby you with information, lead you down a bad path time and time again. Never have the honesty to answer for it. And then just voila, they just create a new narrative where they bullshit you. If that's the kind of person you are, go listen to those people. Right? If you want to be told the truth and you want a heads up on where things are going, politically, how things are really are, then stick with me. I'm happy to tell you. We'll be on this journey together. We'll learn together. I'm giving you information as I learned it. This is an on-the-fly thing. This isn't, this is very organic. That's how we started, and that's why we've had success. Again, it's truly incredible. I mean, even though I get frustrated from time to time with a lot of these things, we started with like $35. There was no money. I was broke. We bought we got some server. It was insane for $35 a month. And then I bought like a $60 web skin, you know, like a template. And we created this new site for under $100. And we said, let's see where it goes. there's never a dime spent on any marketing or advertising. I don't know. Maybe we bought $25, $50 worth of Twitter ads once, And we're like, hey, that doesn't work. That was, you know, I'm not, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that you don't need to spend, this isn't Mike Bloomberg where you have to spend $500 million to figure out something's not working, okay? Us stupid mix it down here in Philly and us stupid mix and us stupid Italians and us stupid Polacks, if we don't get see a return on our investment of $50, we don't need to spend $500 million. We're just... You call us what you want, but we're a little bit more street smart than that. But so our support has been organic, but you know, it always makes me scratch my head and say, why aren't more people with bigger followings, bigger platforms, people that we've promoted, why don't they promote what we say ever? It's very simple. We're a threat to them. They're not about the truth. These people are not about the truth. Okay. And we can fucking tackle that some other time, but I want to get more into this stuff. CDC, man, you know, the CDC is always has been famous for, oh, well, like you heard in that clip. Okay. From CNBC, from the doctor, the CDC has done this with, Zika virus, isn't that what it was called? They've done it with bird flu. They've done it with Ebola. They would say, well, yeah, well, you know, it's just, we don't really have to worry about the test kits so much. We're working on the vaccine. And when the vaccine comes out, everybody should just get a shot to make sure everybody's safe. Yeah, yeah, sure, it costs a lot of money, but that's the way you can really be safe when you, and don't forget, we can push these things through the clinical trials and the FDA if our friends are behind the pharmaceutical friends and our political friends have a stake in these things. We'll make sure all the right companies get the clinical approvals from the FDA for these vaccines. And we will fast lane these things so all of our friends can even make more money. And we'll tell you exactly the name of the vaccine. Boom. We control everything from start to finish. So don't worry about test kits. If there's a big problem, we'll have the vaccine and we're here to help you and here to save you. Oh, really? Okay. I mean, historically, these people have profited from tax dollars, your tax dollars, under the guise of a public service. And we've seen it time and time. And I mean, I could go into like the former director of the CDC, Obama appointed director, completely corrupt, you know, completely corrupt. And he was put in there to make sure when Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, whatever name you want to call it, was implemented, that everybody, all the Democratic cronies got a piece of all the different tenets. Everybody profited behind the scenes, stuff you don't even know about. Making millions upon millions upon millions. And then they kick back to campaigns. They kick back to GOP, Democratic senators, congressmen, right? Everybody gets a kickback. Money's flowing. It's a nice little corrupt circle. Meanwhile, your premiums double and triple. And now your health care bill looks like a fucking mortgage. Your health care bill went from $700-$800 a month for a family of three, four, $2,100. So if you ever thought about having a vacation home, okay, if you ever thought about having a vacation home but couldn't afford it, now you do. Now your health care tab is a second home. You thought you were going to get somewhere in this world? Well, guess what? You have two homes now. The equivalent of two homes. You have your mortgage and your rent. And then you have this monstrosity of a healthcare bill just in case something goes wrong. And by the way, the most people in this country, their health care is inadequate. Right? It'll cover you if you get a really bad disease. But beyond that, you're probably spending and laying out on co-pays and things like that. Another $300-$500 a month on top of that bill. So let's say you're, let's just say for $2,000 a month, okay? Because I talked to a lot of people, some people paying $35, some people paying $1,600 a month, $1,800 a month, $25. Let's just say we'll cut Obama and his cronies a break. And by the way, this hasn't gotten any better since Trump's been in office 3 years, okay? So this is now on Trump too as well, because it continues to persist. It's something that hasn't been fixed. And so let's say you're making $2,000, paying $2,000 a month for healthcare, but you still have to put out $60, $70, $85 for a copay with some of these plans, Affordable Care Act plans. It means you walk into the doctors and you're sick. You got to pay $85, $75, we'll call it $75, $75 for a copay so the doctor can see you, okay? Here's what they don't tell you, that your doctor visit, you're paying $75, okay? The doctor, the total price tag on the visit is probably $200. So insurance is covering like $125, right? But they already got you for $2,000 a month. They got you for $2,000, man. And now you're paying extra. It's insane. So they're bleeding you. They get you coming and going. This is what the government does. They get you coming and they get you going and you foot the bill. And this is what they do. They're pros at it. Nobody's better. So when I see like all these, I'm surrounded by all these people from the CDC, they're not fucking good people. Part of the problem. CDC should be gutted. Historically, as corrupt as they come. Okay. And I could go into that and we may go into that in the future, but there's just so much more to talk about. But I'll tell you one thing. Somebody's going to make a lot of money. They've done this before many times. They're going to make a lot of money if and when they get this vaccine up for this coronavirus. And you know, the other thing is kind of funny. When there's a press conference and whether it's Trump or whether it's somebody from the CDC or whatever government agency is telling you everything's going to be okay, don't worry. It's pretty fucking basic to me. That I talked about it last night. Remember that sound effect they used to have on Family Feud when there was like a big X came over the screen and you were wrong? It's like, whenever I hear that, the big X should come over the screen and cover the whole screen up. And that should be when it's either a president or somebody else from the government telling you, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. yeah, right. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. I mean, what's Trump going to get up there and say? You know, the flip side of it is too, he's playing good politics in a sense that, is he going to get up there and say, hey, I'm surrounded by these people from the CDC and their career hacks who've ripped off the government for a long time. So I'm not sure what they're talking about, but, you know, I'm up here. He's trying to calm people down. He's trying to calm the markets down from, like, panic. And I guess you wouldn't get up there and say, hey, I'm surrounded by these hacks who are more polished at ripping you off than trying to help you out. You know what I mean? Oh, man. You just look at the history of the CDC and you just Google it. Put in CDC and fraud or CDC and scandals. And you see this previous director, and Trump's first director just had to resign because of a scandal. She had all these millions of dollars in tobacco stock that she held and she didn't tell anybody about it. And then when they found out about it, she was supposed to divest herself from it. She's making like decisions on tobacco policy, but she was profiting from the fact that the tobacco stocks are making money, and she got caught and she had to resign. It was like, not a lot of people know this. This was a Trump appointee. But the previous guy, Friedman, Dr. Friedman under Obama, was a real criminal, and they threw him out because he resigned right when Trump was done. But then he got charged with like molesting, I think it was a young girl or somebody, like he got charged with alleged sex crime. This is the guy that's running the CDC. And people are like, oh my God, he's a maniac. And my contention is, yeah, it was Paul Friedman. My contention is that No. They use this alleged sex crime as a like a shiny thing going on over here. Oh, look over here. This guy was a maniac. Please don't look at all the nonprofit, the schemes that this guy cooked up and how he lined everybody's pockets, basically with kickbacks and schemes. So in that instance, it's a useful tool for the government to come up with a better cover story to paint this guy just as a general maniac. Like, well, you know, you can't stop all the bad apples. This guy was completely insane. And don't pay attention to all the schemes you did over the years. What did you expect? Nobody knew that he was going to start molesting or sexually assaulting people, allegedly, or however it comes out. I don't know how the case came out, but I mean, it's really crazy. And the point is that if the government actually vetted these people before they got into a position, they had an effective vetting program instead of just putting political hacks in positions where you are in charge with doling out millions of dollars to different vendors and different cronies. A guy like Friedman, if he was molesting people allegedly, he wouldn't get in office to begin with. But that's not how things work. This isn't how your government works. You know, and this ties out to what I've been finding out. And this goes back. I just want to be clear. I'm not like telling people to fuck off and don't listen to what I'm saying. I think I've reached a point in my career where I no longer care if you folks out there. I can't make you want to find the truth, right? You're either on a path where you want to be told the truth and you're sick of being lied to. And here's the thing. Well, you're not. But here's the thing. The folks that are being lied to and listening to all these people, my God, there's just no shortage of them, right? There are other people. I'm not saying I'm the only person out here telling you the truth, but I am very plugged in. I don't know if anybody's plugged in as well as we are. I really don't. People say, well, what makes you so special? I was one of these guys. I was like a deep state guy, right? We did all this stuff for these guys. I was very good at it. Like I said, talking to people, getting them to tell me stuff, finding out information. It's my wheelhouse. It was like, it's been very simple to me. Some people are like great at draining 3-point shots. Some people can throw a football 70 yards, like, you know, through a tire. Some people can look at a complicated math equation and figure it out in seconds. For me, intel is my wheelhouse. It's what I've done since I was like, I would say, started doing it when I was 16, 17, working in newspapers, working my way up, talking to people. This is what I do. And I've been very successful at it. So I'm not trying to alienate people. I'm just trying to say I've reached a point in my career where I just don't care if you're not along for the ride and you want to be enlightened. I think there's a number of people who feel that they need to enlighten me and tell me that I'm wrong and how I'm wrong. I have news to tell you. I'm years ahead of you guys. And it's not really your fault, okay? But those same people, when it all collapses, when all these false narratives collapse in the news media, whether it's mainstream media or right-wing media, you're going to need a place to land. You're going to have to come back into the fold. And so you're going to naturally come back to folks like me or other people that you feel have not given you a shitty deck of cards through the years. You're welcome to come back. I don't really hold any grudges, right? And you're welcome. Even the people who have, many people in the media who have criticized me, privately they've apologized and they say, I'm following you now and I'm listening to what you say. And then some of the stuff that I talk about are variations of what you are saying. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's okay. You don't even have to credit me. It's cool. I'm just a dude out here with some good connections, right? Not anything special. I'm just me. This is just me, right? So if you want to come back into the fold, that's cool. Let's get the word out. The more people are getting the word out, the better. But if you don't want to come back in the fold, that's cool as well. I can't control you. I'm out here. I'm trying to play it straight here and give you the information I have. But the information that's coming in, let me take another drink real. It's been a long week, all right. You know, when things start jamming, intel-wise, my weeks go really fast. You spend so much time talking to people on the phone all day, and some of these old-school guys, I have to tell you, they will not talk on the phone. They will not, email, forget about it. Text, they won't do it. They say, come talk to me. Yeah, but you're like 8-hour drive away. Well, I got something to tell you. And call them back and be like, this better be fucking good, because if I come out there and it's not good, I'm going to be pissed. Because, 4 or 5 hour drive here, 8 hour drive there, shit adds up. And I'm all for getting great puzzle pieces to help put the picture together better for myself and for folks that are now listening to me and reading us and things. I'm all for that, but it better be good. So some of these old school guys, forget it. It's like, you better gas up the car, right? Hit Wawa and load up, because you're going on a road trip whether you like it or not. And that's the way it is. So, but some of the information that's coming in, and it's from top folks. See, this is why I can say things with complete confidence. And I don't want to harp on our track record, but it's been pretty damn pristine. For me, my goal, my benchmark is 100% right all the time. I'd say we're running at 97%. So I'm happy, but to me, the difference between 97 and 100 is 3%. When I was in high school and I got an A on a paper and I graduated top of my class, I got an A on a paper. I'm like, well, okay, cool. And the teacher, professor's like, hey, great job. I'm thinking, why didn't I get, I got a 96. What can I do to get that extra 4 points? Because what the hell? This is like, for me, you try to be the best you can be at something, right? So if we're running 97%, 97% on True Pundit, I want 100%. And the reason I can say these things with such definitive confidence, because I know these guys are so plugged in, and it's all true because I've known a lot of them for years, decades. So I know I'm not going to get played. I'm not regurgitating somebody's talking points, right? I'm not being played. I'm not a political pawn. I'm not some billionaire who owns my newspaper, who owns my podcast. I'm not pimping for them to protect their friends, right? I know when I say something based on who I talk to, how long I've known them. And don't forget, something that's inherently kind of behind the scenes is I worked some fucking ops with these guys that were really hairy, a lot of these guys. And like one mistake and there's big problems. And I'm not talking like you get embarrassed in the media problems. I'm talking like you may not make it out of the room problems. So there's no error for margin in intel a lot of times. And when you work with guys like this coming up, and you find out that you find out two things when you're working with guys, contractors, feds, whatever, undercover, whatever the situation is, right? There are guys who are built for this and who are, when I talk about intel's in my wheelhouse, there are guys that are very proficient and they're in the same camp. Then there are jackasses who you don't want to work with because they're prone to mistakes, they're sloppy, they're lazy, and they're going to get somebody you know, perhaps even yourself, hurt, killed, compromised, whatever. So over the years, you can pick and choose who you work with. Now, sometimes you get stuffed on a crew and you're working with another crew and you don't have a choice, right? If you're working for the FBI and they got a couple different crews working, you can't like run to the FBI and say, I don't want to work with this guy, because he's like, they're like, look, just get the job done. We don't want to hear all this bullshit, right? Whether they're working with CIs or they're working with contractors, a lot of times it's a mishmash. You, You got contractors who are CIs, and they're treated as CIs for confidential reasons, and sometimes it gets complicated. But the point is that as time goes on and you get older, you can pick and choose who you talk to and who you listen to and who you believe. And I know that when I get information from the people I talk to, it's right. So that I can sit here almost like, I guess it's like a 25,000 foot view of what's going on, because I know all the moving pieces, many of the moving pieces, many of the bigger important moving pieces, and I see where everything's going on, and I could say kind of above the fray, now this is going on, that's going on, I see how this is going on, how that's going on. Let's start to bring in the public on this. Let's start to bring in the people that listen to us and read us. Bring them into the know on these things as they form and as we know that certain things are going to be breaking in the future. The difference between that is that's definitive intel. It's not a theory where I say, I think what's going on is, or, you know, when you watch TV, right, these guys. Oh, what do you think's going on, Chris? Well, you know, I think history has shown. Fuck that stuff. Like, we don't have time for that. You either get it right or you don't. There's no theory. Most of these guys with their theories are full of shit. Their theories are based on their experience. And these guys are all talking about national security issues. I think they don't have a background in national security. So now you have a bunch of people that don't really have a background of what's going on, talking about how things are being developed. I listen to these guys, I laugh. I'm like, Jesus, how much money is this guy making? $250 a year, $350 a year, for even a guy like Hannity makes $30 million a year, and he sits up there like a dope and gets it wrong every time. Why? Because he's told to get it wrong. Simple as that. Because nobody can get, you could flip a coin and have better odds than what he delivers. I mean, it's, nobody's that wrong. You are misleading people on purpose. And if he wants to debate it, I'd be happy to debate him anytime. Any of these guys, I'd be happy to debate any of these guys on a stage about national security. And I'm sure I'd learn a few things, and I guarantee you they'd learn some things as well. But you either get it right or you get it wrong. It's very simple. It's black and white. There's no gray area. You're either right or you're wrong. It's very simple. And they're wrong. So when I talk to these people about what's going on with the Clinton Foundation and all this stuff, and it's just, it's staggering. And we're going to be getting more into that as this goes on. This is going to be leading up to the election, through the election. And then, you know, for me personally, I'll make some decisions on what I want to do after the election with my career. But for now, I'm here and I'm enjoying the putting the puzzle pieces together on this. Basically, it's a cartel. And now what I'm finding out is, understanding finally is that the government is largely has operated as a cartel and still continues to operate as a cartel, criminal cartel. And we're being used, our tax money is being used to enrich these people, whether it's through kickbacks, whether it's through spending, or just outright theft. I mean, it's just like the CDC we're talking about, right? The CDC was kicking money back to the Clintons that we know from at least the Clinton Health Access Initiative, which is one of their schemes. And they have, I'd say, over a half dozen different names for the different schemes. Okay, let me get a drink. I'm drinking hot tea today. Because it's like one of those days, right? The CDC just becomes another vehicle for money laundering to these guys. They kick money to the CDC, and since the CDC is kicking money back to the Clintons, okay? Then Hillary and her friends can beef up the money that comes into the CDC. It's like, oh, you're kicking money back to the mothership. To the Clinton Foundation or Clinton Health Access Initiative, right? 15, 25, who knows? A lot of this stuff is not public. So you have to put the bits and pieces together. You have to work this. It's hard to do. some of the best nuggets of information are federal guys who are, have worked these cases that have gone nowhere and said, no, 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 no. CDC wasn't getting $15 million. That's what it is on paper or in news media. That's what that's what's been reported. CDC was kicking back like 65, 75, 80 million to the Clinton Foundation. So that's just underreported. So a lot of the numbers that are out there, they're not even accurate. It's very simple. When you're working a criminal investigation, you look at what's being reported, even on budget sheets or in government reports, right? And then you look at the bank accounts. The money has to go somewhere. The money is moving. How much money is moving? When did it move? Why is this? Why doesn't this amount from this place reconcile with the amount you said in your filings that you paid? You said you gave $15, $10 million, whatever it is, to the Clinton Health Access Initiative. Bank records over the years shows you gave, or over the years show you gave $80 million. That's a hell of a discrepancy. That's what you call underreporting, okay? So the CDC, USAID, whatever. These are just government. Now, this is this, you know, the rabbit hole of fraud gets deep, and there's all these offshoots, almost like an ant. You ever see an ant nest? You know, there's all these different rooms and little branches and offshoots and little caverns and things, these ants. So there's a main hole, but there's all these little nooks and crannies of fraud. Right? So we're talking about other government agencies that are involved in this fraud. So the offshoots, the nooks and crannies here, are the other folks, Bill Clinton's buddies, Hillary Clinton's buddies, who form charities of their own. And then the charities are in on, even the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, they're into this up to their necks, whether they like it or not, okay? And that's more on that's going to come out. We touched on some of that last week. We're going to get more into that, and it's not pretty. So folks out there who think Bill Gates is this shining beacon on a hill, he's full of shit just like the rest of these guys, and it's going to come out. And so we're talking about government agencies that are in on the scheme. But there's also a number of private corporations, public corporations, but I mean entities, non-government entities that are in on this. Whether the charities or the corporations or foundations connected to corporations. Everybody was making money, kicking money back to the Clintons. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And, you know, how many people were involved? How deep does it go? How many investigations were there that got crushed? Barr just crushed the Clinton Foundation investigation. He said, oh, there's nothing there. Nothing. Are you kidding me? I know. My simple ass outside of Philadelphia sits here, and I know that this is a major scheme. Because federal agents are telling us, you can't even believe the shit these guys were into. And there's a domino effect. When a guy like Barr spikes the investigation, the guys who worked it and put their sweat into it, they're pissed. And they say, this guy Barr is crazy. These guys are arch. They're arch fucking criminals. Okay. This is like crazy. And now nobody's going to go to jail? What? So, you know, you have to wonder how deep it goes. And you find out, like I'm finding out, I have a front row seat. The more you find out, the more I realize, wait, these people can't go to jail. The Hillarys, the Comeys, all these guys. They're the gatekeepers of this. They know everybody who's involved. The Comey and Ray and the FBI and other folks that investigated these schemes, they know all the players. because they had to hide the evidence. So when these people are not going to jail or not being indicted, it's not because they can't be. It's just that it's too big. The problem with a scheme like this is when the dominoes start falling and these people get leaned on, who do they end up giving up in the process of trying to cut a deal for themselves? Who are they going to give up? That's where it gets dicey, because you lose control over what these folks can say, because when you back an animal into a corner, they get a little squirrely. They can get a little crazy, start giving up the ship. Very dangerous. Well, the antidote to that is somewhat simple. And we're seeing that now. We're living it. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody gets indicted, and then there's nothing to worry about. We can all sit on Twitter and release statements where we're just basically guys like Brennan. You see these guys like poking fun and taunting the president. They know nothing's going to happen. It's too big. It's too big. It involves everybody. It involves Congress. And when I say Congress, that's a loose term for Congress and Senate. It involves these guys, past and present. It involves the biggest titans of industry, names that are pioneers in tech, philanthropic heroes everybody looks to as shining examples of the benefits of the tenets of capitalism. They're all involved. Now, whether they knew that they were getting involved in schemes with the Clinton Foundation or not, it doesn't matter. If they got played too, they're still on the hook. You understand? So when the whole fucking city is in on it, the whole political establishment is in on it, it's too big. It's too big. It's simple as that. There's just too much money. So they're either all involved in it or have their hand in it, or they're now involved, the people who weren't involved in it, who didn't profit from it somehow, didn't get kickbacks, didn't make money, didn't profit. They're involved in the cover-up. And there's a massive cover-up. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the cover-up is what's more interesting than the original crimes, because the cover-up's always more involved, more complex, and it encompasses far more people than the original scheme. You learn that when you're chasing these guys for 30 years. And then, I guess, it's just, if one domino falls, they're all going to fall. And it's been set up that way on purpose, right? By sinister people who, again, are all involved. The stuff that I'm finding out now is absolutely massive. And we're going to be talking about that as time goes on. We have in the last few weeks that this podcast has been going. We've dropped a lot of news on here. And, you know, the other thing is, too, like, I'm just a dude, right? I got a podcast now. It doesn't make any money, but that's cool. Maybe it will in the future. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'll keep doing it. Maybe I won't. I can do whatever the fuck I want. But I got to worry about my family and kids and stuff. And when I'm talking to these guys, and they're worried about their family and kids, and these guys that are plugged in, you know, part of me is saying, why even tell folks about this? Because no one's going to do anything about it anyhow. Number one, is anybody listening? Because it takes them out of their comfort zone. There's a lot of different tenets here that it makes me question, like, the even revealing information that nobody knows. Number one, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Am I going to end up like Phil Haney with a gunshot to the chest? Then what happens to my family? What happens to, you know, that situation? Like, what is the point of all this? Why am I even telling people all this? That stuff is going on in the back of my mind too. You know, sometimes you get information and it's too fucking good. And you find out that It's so good that people don't even believe it. It takes them 3 or 4 years to believe. And there's a danger in being out in front on some of this stuff, you know, and I'm trying to balance that and think about that too, but is anybody going to do a fucking thing about it anyhow? I mean, the fabric of this country has been so tattered and damaged by these criminals. Anybody out there who thinks that there's no deep state, I have to shake my head. It's like, this is the deep state I'm talking about. Excuse me. This is the deep state. It's either these guys down at DC, it's either they're in on it or they're just not educated enough to understand that they're part of this operation as some real dastardly people. And then I see these like internet soothsayers out there. And I know I keep coming back to this, but it's part of the problem. They're giving these people cover to operate. Selling hope. They're selling, like, I call it hope porn. Oh, these guys are going to jail. These guys are going to jail. That gives these people cover. They're enabling the scheme because they're telling you, calm down, man. Just chill out. It's all going to work out. You know, truth, justice, and the American way. It's all going to happen. You just got to be patient, man. It's all part of a plan. You don't understand. These guys are saying this. They're fucking rookies. They've been doing this like 2 or 3 years. I was talking to somebody, high rank, very high ranking federal guys, very recently. And they were trying to tell some of these guys who, that they know, like, and I'm not going to mention any names, but people with very large platforms, the conservatives with large platforms on social media, they were trying to tell them about this stuff. And they're like, it just goes over their head. They don't get it. They're like, who are these people? And I said, they've been doing this like 2 or 3 years. What do you expect? And the guy says, yeah, they're like fucking toddlers. I said, exactly. Think about a 2 or 3 year old, right? When you're a parent or an uncle or an aunt, you see a 2 or 3 year old, they're bumbling around. Yeah, they're fun to watch and stuff, and they're fun to listen to babble, but they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So I've been thinking about that these people are toddlers and they should be treated as toddlers, right? They're giving cover to these criminals and they're selling you bullshit while these guys continue to operate behind the scenes. But not only that, we talked about it last week. The hourglass on the statute of limitations is 5 years on crimes in the U.S., federal crimes in the U.S. That clock is ticking on a lot of this stuff. So the more that they can tell you that these guys are going to jail, relax, man. It's all going to happen. This is all part of some plan Trump has. No, it's not. They're going to run the clock out. Let me tell you something. There is a plan. The plan is to steal as much money from you as they can and get away with it at all costs while telling you that don't worry about it. Everybody's going to be, get locked up. You just got to relax and calm down. These things take time. I have to tell you, it doesn't take that much time to indict somebody. When you have them dead to rights, you put the case together, you indict them, okay? And then you lock in that date where anything they did previous to that date is fair game. But when you keep waiting and delaying and delaying, the statute starts ticking off. They can't be charged 5 years after they did a scheme. I'll give you a perfect example. This week it's going around. Hillary has to testify in some civil matter for her emails, and everybody's pumping it up, Fox and everybody, and it's a judicial watch case. It's, oh, Hillary, now she has to testify. A federal judge is compelling her to testify. This is it. We got her. She's going down. This is a civil case. It's nothing to do with her going to jail. Sessions. I'm going to lay this out for you. Loretta Lynch, Jeff Sessions, William Barr have run out the clock. The statute on, it's not even fair to say Barr because the statute ran out after after Barr came in. So let's just break it down. Lynch and Sessions were on the clock. There was when the 5 years lapsed, they ran out the clock on her. Any chance of her being indicted for her email infractions, they ran out the clock. She's free as a bird. She cannot be charged for that. She got away with it. They ran out the clock. Now they're running out the clock. Like every day they don't do something on whether it's FISA or Clinton Foundation, right? They're running out the clock again. Because what better way to say we can't charge somebody when it says, look at the statutes, we can't charge somebody. Now, always run into this situation when I talk about this, whether it's in a bar with somebody or shooting the shit with friends who are liberal or moderates, you know, they always say, Moore, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Or they're on the internet on, see people, sometimes I do shows talking with people on, when I talk with Jason Goodman on his YouTube portion of his show. Shows that little clips that he has on YouTube when we do the pre-show of our Moore Payne show together on Patreon. There's always people who say, this guy Moore is a dope. There's no statute of limitations on treason. There's no statute of limitations on a RICO case. And, you know, I just take a step back and I say, I feel bad for these folks who actually think that, because in some instances, it's not really their fault that they're this stupid. There's no other way to put it. They're ignorant, okay? They've been misled, but you allow yourself to be misled when you have other people out here telling you that that's not, you got it so wrong. The Justice Department can't put a single count indictment against a public official together. What in the world would make you think somebody who can't ride a bike with training wheels and put a single count indictment together is going to get on a Harley Davidson and fly down the street in a proficient manner? In other words, put together a RICO case, put together a treason case. Are you kidding me? Whoever you're listening to, or if you listened to in the past that says anything about RICO or treason, are fucking romper room toddler Fisher Price rookies, and run as fast as you can away from these people. That's just not ever going to happen. With the way this cartel is set up, no way. So when I say that the clock has run out, the statute of limitations, I mean the clock has run out. There's no backdoor contingencies for RICO and backdoor contingencies for treason. Perfect example, right? See, I back up what I'm saying with examples. They had well over, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, U.S. Customs, okay? They had well over 100, I'm getting like fired up now. I'm like, I'm in here, I'm pointing at the computer screen. The fucking computer screen didn't do anything to me. I'm like pointing at it, and like getting pumped up, and I'm moving around because I get pissed off. This is me though, right? It's frustrating because I have 25,000 view of this whole thing, and people are running around like rats in a scurrying around like this misinformation maze, and the rats are just like banging their heads against the wall in the maze, and I'm like, no, this is the way out. This is how you get to the truth. You started out here. You got to get to the truth at the end. This is like a labyrinth. It's a maze. You keep beating your head against the wall. You got to go this way. You got to go right. Keep going in a circle. You can't get out and go in circles. Ow, son of a bitch. That's my leg. It's cranked it against the desk. Oh, man. Anyhow, let me back to my original point before I end up hurting myself or... Okay, all these government agencies I just mentioned, they had the dirt of, they had over 100 fact witnesses, okay, against Epstein for trafficking, for rape, for both. And it's like being a federal agent in a candy store when you go and work your case against this Epstein clown. Everybody's talking. There are dozens of fact witnesses, dozens of victims, not even fact witnesses, just victims. They pick him up at the airport in Teterboro. They unsealed an indictment. It's like one count of trafficking. What the fuck? One count of trafficking? What? And then they have a press conference where they're saying, yeah, we're putting together a task force and we want victims to come forward who were either molested or raped or trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. Please come forward and we want to talk to you, or task force wants to talk to you. It's the FBI, NYPD. Please contact us at 1-800-EPSTEIN-RAPE-ME or whatever that was. And I'm saying to myself, why? You have over 100 victims, documented victims, the Miami Herald, other places. It's like over 100 victims. How many more fucking victims do you need? Are you trying to load up a Carnival cruise ship? Like a reunion? You had 100 victims. You had one count of trafficking in your indictment. What's that about? Why do you need more victims? You already know of 100 people. Over 100 people. Go have your agents knock on their doors and talk to these people. You don't even need to do that in many cases because these people came forward decades ago and told you. What do you need more people for? You have a shit ton of people and you came up with one count of kind of like a mini trafficking account. There was no count of rape in there, sexual assault. So equate that to what I'm saying. The most egregious thing in this country is violating children. You had a guy that made a career out of that. Probably selling information, swapping information. Leverage, blackmail, money, political influence, whatever. You put together some bubblegum case of one count of trafficking on one of the most heinous criminals in U.S. history that was enabled and empowered by the intelligence community in the United States to do this for decades. You think these same people are going to put together a multi-count indictment of treason and a RICO indictment of conspiracy against Hillary Clinton and her associates? You guys got to be kidding yourselves. Come on. I mean, let's grow up. It's time to grow up here. Like I said, if you don't have the wherewithal, you haven't been in this arena long enough to understand these things. You have to find people that do, and you have to listen to what they say, and then you balance it out for yourself. You never take anything anybody says as gospel, but you balance it out and you say, you know, like for me personally, over the life of this guy's body of work as a broadcaster and a journalist in the last couple of years, he's fucking right. So maybe I'll go with what he says compared to some dope who gets it wrong every single time. I don't get it, man. Anyhow. Yeah, I thought, like, when I did my book, I talking about Osama bin Laden and this whole government scheme to keep his whereabouts hidden, and that the government was receiving credible intelligence that he was during, he was obviously when he was alive after 9/11, that he was hiding out in Iran, and there was documents we uncovered, top secret cables we included, I included in the book, where folks in Saudi Arabia were telling guys like John Brennan, yo, the bin Ladens are running Al-Qaeda from Iran. Like, you might want to do something about it. And, you know, dozens of examples from all the way from congressmen to intel that was coming into the FBI and the CIA. All these examples where nobody cared. Nobody even investigated it. And to me, that tells me you don't look for somebody in a place if you already know that they're there. Now, again, this spans the George Bush presidency and the Obama presidency, right? I thought that was a pretty good scam. And I might even said at the time, this is the biggest, one of the biggest unknown scams in U.S. history. And that was just like a year ago. But now, just a year later, this eclipses that for, I mean, it's bad enough they had U.S. troops in Afghanistan, you know, miles and miles and miles and miles away from Iran, you know, supposedly looking in caves for this guy, and soldiers are getting killed and maimed. So it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that there are nefarious people in the government that knew that this guy was definitely not in Afghanistan at the time. And then all these people are over there getting killed, and that there would actually be people here that didn't care about it. I mean, that's one thing to wrap your head around, right? This thing is even worse because it just goes to and the stuff that's going to come out on this, if I don't end up on a fucking gutter like Jessica Savage, drowned in a gutter or clipped or something. And I say that basically, you know, already accepting responsibility that some information is too good to have. And the quicker I can share it on here and develop it, I think the safer I am. And I'm not trying to be a hero or whatever or anything like that. I would try to paint this as some kind of a fucking norm or race situation where it's me against the world. I'm just trying to tell you what's going on, man. And again, I think there was probably a time where just recently I was like, you know, I build this podcast up. We can build this thing up and we can be better than a lot of people out there. And whether that equates to money and things like that, it's just, I don't even fucking care about that anymore. And that's just a quick evolution. That's a 180 in 2 or 3 months. So I know that folks out there are capable of getting this. And whatever your philosophies are, you can do a 180 like I did and say, wait a minute, this is crazy. Like, this stuff is so crazy, it has to be true. Why would this guy be saying this? And staking his reputation on things. That I've worked hard through the years, not just the last 3 years in journalism, but my whole life and being right. That's the only thing that matters to me. Like, one of my mentors, I've talked about, Dick Callahan, told me, dude, if you're right and you can be right all the time, not just some of the time, not just most of the time, but all the time, you never have to worry about money. You'll never go hungry. There's not a lot of guys that are right. And the money will find you, whether now in this business, like, he's passed on before I went back into journalism, but he's right. I don't worry about ads. I don't worry about any of that stuff, right? If I'm right, eventually enough people will jump on the wagon and help support myself, my family, my crew here, right? In one way or the other, whether by listening to our plugs or contributing funds or whatever it is. Buying things, following us on patreon.com/truepundit. And, you know, the things that are going to come out that I know about this are, it paints a picture that whatever we thought about the corruption in this country, the level of corruption, And I say this, when I say we, I use it collectively because I put myself in this category too. Whatever I thought about the corruption level, fraud, schemes, illicit thievery, times it by 20. And then you get an accurate picture of what's going on behind the scenes. Again, a picture that I've been given rare glimpses to and rare intel to from people who have a front row to this stuff. This is classified information. It's stuff that they could fucking end up on a concrete slab for. I mean, it's not even about, like, these guys know. It's not even about losing their job. Most of these guys I came up with, so they're close to retirement anyhow. So they're not worried about losing their jobs. They're worried about getting killed. They're worried about ending up like a guy like Phil Haney or Sal Cincinnati or Gary Webb. I mention these guys all the time. Gary Webb was Gary Webb was a mentor of mine in journalism when I was coming up. I was a young guy. He was about 10 years older than me. And what happened to him? The kind of stuff stays with you, but these guys are like risking their ass letting me in on this. And they're only letting me in on this because they know that I won't fucking hold back. I'll tell people about it. Like, their options of going to people in the media are not that great. And they know that I won't sell them out behind the scenes to profit, to gain from it, to rat them out and line my pockets. That's not me. It's never been me. So there are things that we're developing on this Clinton situation, and it encompasses so many people. For me, it shakes the core of what I think about government, what I think about being an American, and what I think of good versus evil. And that's why, as a journalist, it's such a great story, because it's, I think, just bigger than probably it's much bigger than I ever thought it would be as far as fraud, but the only way I can think about tackling this and getting out is just as soon as I get something that's good, talk about it, get it out on the air and stuff. Because I've thought about, we should do a movie or a book or something like that. If I did a book, I would be worried that something would happen to me before the fucking book got out. So I might do a book on this. I don't know. But if it's a book, it's just going to be going more in depth on things that I've talked about on here and things we've done on True Pundit, right? It needs to get out because I think that I'm better protected that way. Because some of the things that I'm hearing and I'm learning, I'm just like, whoa, these guys will stop at nothing to rip you off and get away with it. Like, there's billions of dollars involved. Like, the Clintons, I think, people throw a lot of money numbers around. The Clinton foundations or different foundations made $3, $4, $5 billion over their lifetime, right? I think that's bullshit. I think we're talking $30, $40 billion that they've bilked from different places. $1 billion. $30 or $40 billion. Okay, so what's a human life worth? I mean, if you get in their way, they'll just smoke you. These guys are nefarious, man. And I can say that with some definitive confidence, but, you know, based on the track records and things like that. But stuff I'm seeing and I'm hearing is absolutely out of this fucking world insane, which tells you that the guys running the scheme, the folks perpetrating the scheme, and more importantly, we talked about earlier, the folks perpetrating the cover-up of the scheme, which I think is even bigger than the schemes. And these are ongoing. This is still going, okay? It's a massive amount of people. It's like a large cartel, and it's not of like, you know, like 10, 15, 20 people. There's a lot of people and there's a lot of moving parts. And some may be motivated by profit and some may be motivated by fear that they don't want to end up. So they'll just go along to get along with this crew. And, you know, and I just touched on that, but, I mean, my notes on this stuff, I write notes and it's like on and on and on and on. There's so many different facets. And how do you break all this down for people so that they can see? That's the challenge. I have to break this all down so that people can digest this in a non sort of shop talk way, you know, just as like side notes, people are like, hey, I didn't see you at CPAC last week. Where were you? CPAC? I'm trying to run down a scoop here. I don't got time to go fucking glad hand with a bunch of people who haven't done anything in their careers. I'm trying to run this stuff down because it's like, it's a massive story. I don't have time to go to CPAC. For a bunch of people that don't give a shit about me or True Pundit anyhow. I mean, we're like a grassroots organization. We our people, our readers, and folks who are listening to me now, those are the people that matter to me, not these people in the media. Like, I don't need to hang out with these folks. We've talked about this, but, I mean, it's just funny because I keep getting these emails. Where were you at CPAC, man? We didn't see you on Radio Row. We wanted to talk to you. I'm like, I'm on the trail, man. Got me on the fucking trail. I'm on the trail of a story or a scheme. I don't have time to be hanging out. If you want to hang out or something, start picking up what we're saying. Start picking up what we're writing. And but anyhow, getting back to this other stuff, I mean, it's just notes and notes and notes. And where do you start with all, right? I think the best way to do it is just to talk about as these things come in and as they're developed. But there's some real bad shit going on, man. And the good versus evil theme, you know, keeps popping up, and it. I've come to tell you that the group under the good continues to get smaller. The inner circle of good continues to get smaller. And as time goes on, we're finding that the group of evil is getting larger. And there's some surprising folks involved. And I have to tell you, it's folks on both sides of the aisle. I'm not trying to just be like, oh, generic or whatever. I mean, this is a process. When you're working an investigation, and the intel is a process, it has to be developed properly, right? But there's no, I've said this before, and I just want to stress this, there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. It's all smoke and mirrors. When the TV cameras are off, they're all hanging out, glad-handing each other, slapping each other on the back, helping each other behind the scenes. Drinking, going to meals together, laughing. There's one political class in D.C., regardless of what you see on TV, okay? Their op is to stay down there, to stay in power, to enrich themselves with the behind the deals, behind the scene deals, stock deals, schemes, kickbacks, and set themselves up for when they do bail. They leave with a golden parachute, end up at a nice plush job, but it really doesn't matter anyhow. If they've played their cards right, they've been able to bank millions of dollars. Where else can you go to work somewhere for $150,000 and in 10 years be multi-millionaires? What are you, fucking Doug Hennings? Are you David Copperfield? The math just doesn't add up. The only way you get that rich is because you're corrupt. Now, your definition of corruption might be different from mine, but you're still fucking corrupt. The problem is when you get a whole city like that, that protects each other. And don't forget, this is the high school keg party that's out of control. We're the parents out here. We're funding this thing. We're just not down there, right? We went away for the weekend, or we went away for a week to Vail, and we come back and there's a house party going on every night, and it's out of control. It makes risky business look like a church picnic, right? We're funding all this. And you have this cabal, this cartel of people who are ripping us off at every turn. And nobody goes to jail for it. Meanwhile, they're telling you, you got to live your life a certain way. You got to pay your bills. You got to keep your ass in line or you end up in jail. And there's like two sets of rules for everybody. I mean, we have our own set of rules we have to follow. We're like, we're slaves, man. I mean, that's how I say it. I know that sounds bad, but they're living it up. Money's unlimited. Food, parties, whatever. They don't worry about bills. They get free health care. Or I said $2,500 a month, $3,000 a month for health care. It's free for them. Well, why would they give a shit about your health care? Oh, and by the way, their health care is like the best in the world. you can't even buy the plan that they have. So chalk that up to $5,000 a month that they're getting. You're paying their salary. They're enriching themselves on our dime. Like I said, we're the parents, and they're the fucking crazed, greased up, drunk teenagers running around doing whatever they want, having sex, ripping you off. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah down there. It's out of control. Okay? And it keeps getting worse because they keep getting away with it. And now they have a cabal where they protect each other at any cost. That's what I said. There's no difference between Republicans and Democrats. There's no difference. I'm shaking my head here if it sounds weird. There's no difference down there. The game is to get you to believe that there is, so you can stay in your little corral that they put you in, and you can stay in your little pen that they have labeled Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and hopefully they can get you to fight with each other and use a divide and conquer mentality so that you're too busy ready to claw each other's fucking eyes out on Twitter because you had the audacity to share an opinion that may differ from the mass or the mob. If we can get these people on the verge of clawing each other's eyes out over mere statements on social media, then we never have to worry about them looking over here and worrying about what we're doing. We are ripping them off. It's really one of the best schemes. But beyond that, this is all like a massive cover for one of the biggest fraud corruption schemes, I think. It might transcend actual world history now with what's going on and everybody that's in on it. And I'm going to keep chipping away at it. Like I said, we're developing this stuff, and I don't know if I'm going to do a book on it. I'm certainly not going to hold back any big information. I might do a book on it. I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. I'm still trying to digest the massive amount of schemes. I mean, think about it. Let's end with this. We're like, I know this has been a lot to digest, but this is just like a fraction of. Now, I've had a long time, a week, to kind of put this into a format where to run it through the funnel of my mind, put a lot of things into the funnel and have it come out in a somewhat streamlined fashion. But we're talking about a couple things. One, we're only talking about focusing this, when I was focusing this episode, is on the Clinton Foundation and all their schemes and all their offshoots that they control. And when we start talking about numbers like $20 billion or maybe more that they made, this is what they brought in, okay? That's just one charity. That's just one charity. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of charities and corporations involved in this scheme and people. That's $20 billion for one. When you factor in all the other ones, and a lot of their friends formulated these similar charities because they figured out that it's a great vehicle to rip people off with under the auspices of charity. Number one, we can rip people off through their tax money to fund our charities. Then we don't have to pay taxes on that money. That's ripping them off again. Because if it was a regular corporation, they'd have to pay 40% taxes. So we're getting the money on the front end. We get to keep the money on the back end. It's really a hell of a scheme. Okay? So if one organization like the Clinton Foundation and all their bogus subsidiaries, schemes, can amass $20 billion, the money even gets bigger as the more players are introduced into the scheme. Okay. One thing nobody ever talks about, though, in all this is perhaps the most pressing question of all. What happened to all the money? Sure, we talk about how much they've bilked the government and not paying taxes and how much they've ripped the government off, whether it's a State Department or Defense Department, or there's $6 billion, $7 billion that just went fucking up and vanished out of State Department. What happened to it? You know, in other departments, there might be an additional $14 billion during the time of Obama and Hillary Clinton's tenure that just vanished. Can't be reconciled. Where did it go? Okay. That's one thing we talk about, how much money they stole out the front door. Sorry, I'm taking a drink here. Getting worked up again. The challenge is, you know, historically, when you get involved in a story like this, I've learned that you want to try to take care of your health as best as you can, because you tend to get a little, I tend to get a little wrapped up into these things. And history has shown that journalism can be very unkind to your health. So you have to make sure you're getting enough sleep and enough water and enough food. And you're running around talking to people and then your stress level's high. So it's important to, just throwing this in here to kind of let you in on my life, right? So it's important to try to keep somewhat of a balanced situation when you're putting yourself through all this. You know, it's hard to, I think sometimes it's hard to know all this stuff and try to break it down for people. And then there's a certain inherent level of stress and anxiety that comes along with knowing this kind of stuff. And so physically, through the years, it's proven a challenge when you're on a good case, or you're up on a good case, or you're tracking somebody who's very adept at ripping people off or stealing, that you maintain a sense of balance in your own life. Otherwise, you're going to end up getting sick and fucked up, and then you're of no use to anybody. So it's a challenge sometimes. You don't want to get too run down, but getting back to what I was saying. And I like to have fun too. I love to bullshit, play jokes and shit too. So you want to make sure that you're not so serious about life when it comes to your other parts of your life that suffers too. And that happens. But getting back to what I was saying, you have all these people making all this money, and we've talked about the money that they've stolen and the money they haven't paid in taxes. That's been, what about, where did all the money go? Where's the money? Where's the $20 billion? That's a lot. That's one cartel. That's the Clinton cartel. Where's the money? $20 billion. $30 billion, whatever you ended up stealing through the years. Okay. That kind of money just doesn't up and fucking disappear. You can't buy that much in property and have it in bank accounts without it sticking out like a sore thumb. Right? Where's the money? What happened to the money? No one talks about that. There's a good reason nobody talks about it. What happens if you are running your own government, your own private government, and your own private military all over the world? When you're Secretary of State and you didn't become President of the United States and you found yourself with a lot of money, you're cutting deals. And you really have to think outside the box on this one. It's really fucking scary to think about. But what happens if you felt that you were the president, wanted to be the president, and had more knowledge than the president at the time, and your Secretary of State, and you just decided that you were going to basically run your own military, private government, conduct your own foreign policy outside of the control of Congress, the branches of government that are put in control and put in place for checks and balances on each other to make sure you don't go off the reservation. What if you had so much money coming in from side deals and schemes where you could just take out a dictator? You could just whack people. You could just buy weapons, give people tanks, weapons, missiles, fucking airplanes, whatever, right? Is that where the money went? They talk about a shadow government. Is that what was going on here? Because $20 billion, $30 billion just doesn't up and fucking vanish. So when everybody says, oh, Hillary's upset because she wasn't president, maybe she was and we just don't know about it.